Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
They're longtime friends.
Let me tell you something real quick about Dibs that I'm sure not everybody knows.
And first-time partners.
Hang in there, big guy. There'll be brighter days ahead.
Now these two homegrown Bay Area boys finally come together to take over sports talk.
Get the hell off of my doorstep.
Major League Baseball, you stink.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, tomorrow is automatically one of those games. These things happen in sports, and it's not fair. That's the way it is. But this is automatically, it's already one of those games. This could be good, this could be bad, but too much is going to ride on one night. So, and that's something that I think about. If they win or if they lose, think about the opinions that are going to come out of tomorrow night. Based on how it looks. I mean, just look at the conversation we just had. What if Kuminga doesn't get to 20 minutes? What if Steph Curry looks tired? What if Klay Thompson shoots poorly? And what if they lose while GP2 is in street clothes? What if the rookies shine? What if they don't? We've reached one of those moments. It's just like going to the 18th hole at the Masters tied. Or pitching a game 7, you know, if your name's Clayton Kershaw or something like that. Like, all of these opinions, potentially shading the entire offseason, come down to one basketball game. One basketball game where, who knows, Harrison Barnes could get hot and score 39 points. And that's it. That could end the season right there. And so I don't think that's dangerous because I don't think the Warriors will do that. But this is one of those moments, and it's kind of it's fascinating because I think we should all admit it. You know, like, you sit there right now. If I asked you your opinion, forget the money for a second.
Just,
do you think it's smart? Should the Warriors have Klay Thompson on the team next year or not?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Could that opinion change just tomorrow night?
No.
Okay.
No.
No?
No, for me, it comes down to the money, though.
3 for 17.
Fine.
1 for 7 from three.
Clay is Clay.
Okay.
So
okay.
For me, it is about the money. So it's hard for me to separate the idea from the money because if Clay wants, you know, $30 million a year, then no. But if Clay can, you know, be satisfied with a contract that keeps them under the luxury tax and maybe allows them to sign somebody else, then yeah. I'd rather have Clay here than Clay be gone.
I'm with you.
Draymond's a different question.
Well, what do you mean?
I mean, I would love for Draymond to be gone. Gone. Draymond. Awesome. Draymond, go bye-bye.
That's the last interview he does with you.
Well, and the last interview he did with us was during the pandemic, which he did.
Oh, I know.
Because he was sponsored by Subway.
Got it.
So he has not come on the station, I don't think, since. And that was Steiny Guru and Dibs. But if they're going to be this team, 10 seed, 8 seed, 7 seed, whatever, I'm good with Draymond being somewhere else. I've had enough of Draymond Green being a Warrior and going through what we've gone through with Draymond Green. The last 2 years, Draymond Green has sabotaged. One with a punch, one with a choke, one with a flail. And so for me, it's a question of, you know, if you're not going to be that team anyway, I'd rather have a team that I enjoy watching, and I don't enjoy watching Draymond Green anymore.
He ruined two seasons in a row.
Basically.
If they lose this week.
Right, right.
Or maybe even if they didn't.
Exactly. Even if they win two games.
You feel that way.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, last year he created a certain situation with Jordan Poole that I think permeated the whole team. And, you know, this year he missed 20 games. So, I mean, I don't know if you could say that he ruined two seasons, but he definitely made two seasons more difficult than they should have been.
I guess. I don't know. Sometimes I look at that one, and it's a little, this is a little bit of like, the knife is sharp on both ends.
Right.
Right? Because it's like, he ruined this season because he wasn't there. But then the same person, if you're anti-Draymond, will line up all the times that he wasn't there and be like, look how well they play without you. Well, it's like, okay, if you play that well without him, then missing 20 games doesn't ruin the season. Or even if I just look at it at face value, you ruined the season because you weren't there. Well, that means that if you're not there, you're not good. So why would the Warriors want you not there? You know what I mean? That's the power that Draymond has always had.
Right.
The second you say, we got to move on from Draymond, you become a worse basketball team. And that's just true. That's why Steph has felt the way he's felt. It's why the organization has behaved the way they've behaved. It's unforgivable. But we forgive him.
Right. We forgive him again.
Yeah, it's unforgivable.
You forgive him because he's under contract. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly right.
I mean, I look at the team this year, 46 wins. If he would have played all the games, aside from, you know, whatever injury and, you know, rest and whatnot, they probably would have 50 wins, and they wouldn't be in the play-in. But because of him, they're in the play-in. So,
I don't know, man. I again, especially when you look at it this way, I think, is it 5 games separates the 4 seed to the 10 seed?
Right.
I think every single one of those teams right now, like, you can hear when the Sacramento, because now, of course, with this game being set up, a lot of those who cover the Kings have been coming on 95.7 The Game all day.
Right.
You can hear it from them. They all think the exact same thing we do. You know, if this, and then if that, right, and then right over here, and if I'm right and I carry the 2, then the Kings would have been the 5.
Right.
That's the way if the Pelicans had just not laid an egg yesterday,
jeez,
they'd have been the 6. They wouldn't even be in this tournament. But they are. So, I don't know. Sometimes I pause with the whole, like, the Warriors should be the 5 seed because they blew a lot of games. Yeah, they did. But blowing a lot of games is part of what you do when you're not worthy of being a top 5 seed. That's what happens.
Right.
That's why games are 48 minutes long.
Exactly, but I look at why they blew a lot of games, and I look at why they, you know, didn't have Draymond Green for a month or more, and it's because of his inability to control himself, and it's been a theme. It's been ongoing, and so I think about next year, and if I had a choice between yes, Clay, or no, and yes, Draymond, or no, it'd be yes, Clay, and no, Draymond. But I know Draymond would have to be traded, and that's wildly unlikely, but for now, it's focusing on Sacramento.
Yep.
They should win tomorrow. I mean, they should, right? Should win tomorrow.
Well, we say that on paper. I can't really tell you if they should have won a game until I watch the game.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to come out and say you should have won if, you know, 2 of Sacramento's 3-point shooters go absolutely bananas.
Right.
Like, sorry. You know what I mean? When the Warriors went to play LA in LA the other night, like, should the Lakers have won? I don't know. I mean, you could argue that they should have, in that they lost by like 12 points, and the Warriors had a record-breaking number of 3-pointers.
Right.
So if they just have a normal shooting game, the Lakers would have won that game. But I'll never say you should if people just absolutely go crazy. And that's
right
what is both nerve-wracking and totally beautiful about this play-in tournament. Like, I wonder if how many of you can do this. And I think, that were they talking about this earlier? Guru was talking about, you know, like one word. What, how would you kind of describe? And a lot of people look at tomorrow night and you go, you're nervous.
Right.
I get that. Or do you see it from the other lens, which I guess maybe is more of a national lens? Dude, this is great stuff.
Oh, yeah.
The Western Conference is just absurd this year. And this is going to be great theater. And it's going to be that much more sort of cherished if the Warriors come out of this. This will be completely like the Warriors and the NBA have figured out an equation this year where if all they do is get to the first round, it'll be memorable.
Right.
You'll be like, remember when the Warriors made the first round? That was great. I made popcorn. It was really fun. They made the first round.
They made the first
round.
They
may have lost OKC in six, but it was great.
Yeah.
Like, it will be that if that happens. These, if there are two games this week, are going to absolutely be as tense as the NBA gives you.
Well, it'll be that for whoever makes it through the play-in. You
absolutely.
Know? For the two teams that make it through the play-in, you know, certainly the 7-8 loser, if they beat the 9-10 winner, it'll be, oh, wow, you know, we made it to the playoffs. But for me, it's bigger than that. And, you know, the Warriors, if they don't make it through this week and get into an actual series, we can ask hard questions about that when we need to ask them. But right now, I look at Tuesday, tomorrow, and I think this is one you should win. And yes, a team can get hot and you can be cold. And yes, one game, you never know. But on paper and even in actuality,
they're better than the Kings.
They
right
are
now.
Better than the Kings.
Right now.
Yes,
right now, exactly. They're better than the Kings.
No doubt.
And the Kings are still, they're less adorable this year, by the way. They're still adorable.
Why?
Because they don't have confidence this year.
Ooh.
You have to understand.
It's not the first time, too.
No, either. But what was adorable last year was all their little, like, we're gonna.
Sure.
You're not gonna.
And the
anything.
Beam and all that.
Like, they're so excited to be there. And now it's angsty again. It's like, right, we're hurt and we're the nine and we're the underdog and the refs. We hate the refs. Like, it's all the same thing that Kings fans have been saying for 40 years is what it sounds like. It's less adorable.
Right.
Last year was just so cute. People were in the street with beers and there were lights and they were just like, this is great. Right.
And they were the three seed too.
They were the three seed.
Yeah. It was like, wow, we might actually, no.
With two more wins than they got this year, where they're the nine seed.
Wow.
They were the three
two
seed.
Two more wins.
With 48 wins.
Jeez.
And
wow.
This year they've got 46, and they're barely in this dance.
Right.
Yeah.
And the Warriors had two more wins also, right?
No, the Warriors had two less last year.
Right.
Two more this year.
Yeah, that's my point.
But went backwards. They went from the 6 to the 10.
Yeah, with two more wins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what
crazy.
I mean. That's what I mean about the Western Conference. This is one to remember, and it's going to be the best play-in tournament that has ever happened, although this is only, is this year three?
Year four,
year
I think.
Year four?
Yeah.
Okay,
yep.
It'll be the best one ever. Like, this is when Ye sat down and went, what do you think about this idea? When they did that 5 years ago, this was what they hoped would happen. This.
Not the East? With a 36-win Atlanta going up against 39-win Chicago?
Not as compelling.
No.
Not quite as compelling.
No.
But this, where you ended up with 10 teams that were clearly better than all of the other teams.
Even 11.
Right. Well, yes.
Houston was a 500 team.
500 team, but
they'd be the ninth seed in the East.
Right, but the rest, the 10 teams are 5 games clear of Houston.
Right.
So clearly you had 10 good teams. The records are all good. You've got great players. Like, just listen, the play-in tournament alone.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
Look at the list, the Olympic team that you could build off of these.
On play-in teams only.
Just the play-in.
Right?
Just the Western Conference play-in. You could build an absolute Hall of Fame, epic roster that would blow you away.
Right.
Easily, you could win a gold medal with players off of these four teams.
Ingram, Zion, LeBron, AD, Steph, Clay, Draymond.
Keep going.
De'Aaron.
Don't say Sabonis.
Well, he's not American.
He could be a bench warmer.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
He's not American.
Let's go to Ray in San Rafael. Ray, thank you for calling. We'd love to hear from you today. 888-957-9570. Hey, Ray, what are you doing?
Oh, you know, I'm thinking about two things. One is the remember that early season tournament? I forget what they even call it.
Oh, like, the mid-season?
The in-season.
Yeah, the in-season tournament.
IST.
In-season tournament. I mean, what are your thoughts on that these days? It's like, what was that, you know?
Do you remember who won?
I think, I don't know. Was it Denver?
No, it was not.
LeBron James.
Do you remember it was the Lakers, and do you remember who they beat?
Didn't they beat Sacramento?
No, that's incorrect as well.
New Orleans.
The New Orleans, yeah. That's right. It is an IST rematch.
It was Indiana. They beat Indiana.
No, you're right. They beat New Orleans and then Indiana. Yeah, New Orleans was in there too.
Come on.
It was the Indiana Pacers in the end. But anyway, it is an IST rematch tomorrow night.
Yeah.
And it is an Anthony Davis trade rematch tomorrow night. Pelicans and Lakers. You throw the records out. They don't like each other.
Yeah.
Brandon Ingram revenge game. Here we go.
Totally.
Yeah. Ray, did you have more?
The other thing was just you kind of see it in business these days, but fractional leadership, and you'll see that kind of what the war, like, there's different parts of the season where people stood up, and I mean, carried the Warriors for a couple of weeks. That doesn't play into the, if that doesn't do well for, you know, into the playoffs. It's like, who are we at this point? But I think they're on the upswing, and if they can hit the right stride, they might go pretty far.
Ray, we'll see. I mean, that's got to be, there's one word right now that I've decided it's the mantra word for the Warriors
okay.
for 2023-24. Ready? If.
Oh, I thought you were going to go with hope.
Nope.
If.
Every single sentence that you say has to start with an if phrase.
If Wiggins can play at the elite level,
they can go a long way.
If Clay can get hot from three,
they can go on a run.
If Steph can be an MVP Steph,
they're as good as anybody.
If Draymond cannot get thrown out.
Well, now that's funny.
Sorry.
But that's what you have to do.
No, you're right.
Right? And you're going to have to do it like 8 times in a row or just once. And the Kings will have more points than the Warriors tomorrow night.
No.
It's possible. It's absolutely possible. So how is this hitting you? I just, like, this is a very unique sort of a vibe. They're 46 wins, but they're on the road the whole way. The Kings are the opponent. Whether it's their chances, whatever. 888-957-9570. We'll take your calls. Let's rock. Let's roll. Ramona Shelburne is on the show a little bit later today. We're all over the Warriors and the Kings, and it is adorable, and it's Willard and Dibbs.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we're happy to have a shot, you know. It could have played out a number of different ways today and played out as it did, so we'll get ready for Sacramento.
Hey, Dub Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
I mean, that's another thing. And I think when you're the best at what you do, you take whatever hand you're dealt and you sort of go, let's go. We got this. In other words, great example would be you and I both love golf.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
First time, actually the only time. Only time I ever went to the Masters as a fan.
Okay.
I'll never forget this.
Hello, friends.
BJ Singh, hits the ball on, what is that par three that's kind of early? Six or seven? It's a long one. You know the course almost better than I do, even
that's
though I've
four.
Been there. Yep. Whatever. Super long one,
yep.
Right?
Okay. 240 yesterday.
Yeah. So he hits it high right, and it goes into the bushes.
Oh, no.
All right?
No.
That's not good.
No.
And he goes over there, and, you know, whack, out of the leaves, and yep. pops out. And whack, anyway, he made a double or a triple bogey.
Yep.
And then he goes to the next hole, and who I was watching with goes, did you see that? And I go, what? And he goes, that dude just made a triple bogey at the Masters, and then he pulled out a banana.
Right.
And I was like, it's actually a really interesting point.
Potassium, important.
Well, sure. Yeah, you gotta replenish, Dibs.
Always.
But that's what the best do. They're like, this is what I was dealt with. I got this. And then whatever the result of that is, whoop, anthill. We're gonna get, here we go. Next hole. Let's go do this. I wonder that about these Golden State Warriors. You're champions. You've let everybody know all about it for 2 years. You hold four fingers up. You've said, I can't get out of bed for games in March. You tapped out of a huge game in Orlando. You get yourself thrown out. You made one of your brethren cry. Like, all of these things have happened in recent months. And now I'm to believe, and I hope it to be true, that the Warriors, as Steve Kerr just said, are you know, happy to be here. Like, are you?
Right.
Because I think that affects the game tomorrow night. Like, if you truly are like, this is an opportunity versus, oh, hell, we got to go do this.
Right.
That
get
little,
on a bus.
Right. That little sort of like turn to your mentals, I think has everything to do with how this week goes.
Right. Especially when you think about like what it means to go there and win. Okay. So you go to SAC and you win. And then you take a bus ride back, and now you have to get on a plane and go to either New Orleans or L.A. and win again just to get an actual series. So I wonder about the vets, you know, Steph and Clay and Dre. They have four rings, and Kevon's got three, and Wiggs has one. And, you know, these are veterans, and so you're trying to get them. Chris Paul is 38, almost 39, and you're trying to get him to get ramped up for a play-in game in Sacramento after a bus ride. It's hard to think about, like, the big mountain that you would have to climb to actually get where you want to get.
How do you feel about it? Like, I wonder
I feel good.
Warrior fan, is tomorrow night fun? Is it an opportunity? Is it make nachos and invite the friends and open up?
have a beer. Yeah.
Is it that? Where you're like, okay, man, let's go, one and done,
yes.
Turf war, sack in Golden State. Or are you like, I can't believe we're in this cockamamie thing. Are you kidding me? The Warriors can't make the playoffs without having to do a double dip this week?
Right.
I wonder, you know, like I think you, doesn't matter, we're fans. It's not like we're going to affect the game.
Right.
But I think those sort of mental aspects of sports they infiltrate even the locker room. You can only fake it to make it so many times.
Right.
You can
right.
only convince yourself, great, I can't believe this is such an opportunity. It's like if you hit the ball in the woods eight times in a row,
right.
The eighth time you might be like, you know what, today's not my day.
Right.
So are the Warriors at that spot? Because this was the point I made last week on Thursday. There's so many of you who are like, they could go on a run, but they need to trade Wiggins this offseason. It's like, well, wait a minute, then you don't.
Right.
You're not here. Are you here or are you there? In your mind right now, is tomorrow night April 16th or July 1st?
For me, it's April 16th.
Good for you.
And it's because of, in large part, Sacramento. And the fact that it's Sacramento makes me a little bit more dialed in than if it was New Orleans or Memphis or, you know, the Clippers or whatever else, because it feels like it's a game that is a rivalry, quote unquote. And I know how much they want it. So based on what they want, I want to keep them from having what we have, which is success. So for me, the fact that it's Warriors Kings makes it a little bit more important, a little bit more charged up. Let's get this win tomorrow. And then we can worry about Friday and whoever it'll be. Then if it's L.A., then I'll be even more ramped up.
Oh, cool.
Because, you know, it's L.A. And if it's New Orleans, it'll still be a little bit ramped up because New Orleans just came in here on Friday and took away your chance to get the 8 seed.
This is going to sound weird.
Yeah.
I really want the Lakers to win tomorrow. Like big, 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 big time want the Lakers to win tomorrow.
So they don't have to go to LA.
It's twofold. Yes, I do think the Warriors have a better chance on a would-be Friday night in New Orleans than they do in LA. I like that matchup better, number one. Number two, a win for the Lakers tomorrow night feeds them to the Nuggets, which is their kryptonite. It is. They can't beat the Nuggets. Ask Laker fan. Well, maybe nobody.
Yeah.
Maybe nobody. But the Lakers cannot beat the Nuggets. So feed the Lakers to the Nuggets because what I don't want is...
Like meat to the lion.
Yeah, I don't want the Warriors to be in L.A. Friday night because if they are, A, I fear that they might lose.
Right.
And B, if they did lose... The Lakers go play Oklahoma City, and they might win that series, too.
Oh, geez.
And then we've got the whole stupid, here we go with the Lakers out of the play-in tournament and LeBron. But just please stab me in the face with a fork. I don't want to see that.
I will.
So go Lakers tomorrow night. Feed to the Nuggets, because you can lose in five, even though I've already said there won't be any five-game series.
Right.
That might be the one exception, because they can't beat that team. Jokic completely takes their size away from them, and the rest of the floor is just better. And they won't win in Denver because they're old and they'll run out of gas and all that stuff. Anthony will get hurt four times. It'll be a wonderful series. They'll lose. And gives the Warriors, I think, a little bit of a better puncher's chance. Puncher's chance no matter what.
Sure.
But a better chance in New Orleans Friday night. And then you win that and a series in Oklahoma City against the Pups.
Yeah.
I think they're a very good team. And I would still favor them against the Warriors, but... That would be more interesting than facing Denver, I can tell
that. Yeah, for sure.
And the Warriors are not in danger of facing Denver, obviously.
No, and more viable, I think, to take on OKC and a team that I think has an average age of 23.5, according to their roster. One of the youngest teams ever to make the playoffs. And so, you know, your championship pedigree against the young pups, as you said.
It'd be great.
It'd be great. And I think that the tempo that OKC plays with is dangerous, but... You know, if they're not on, all of a sudden the Golden State Warriors have a little chance with, you know, the veteran pedigree to slow it down and, you know, get into more of a grinder game and beat OKC. But long way to go between now and then, you know.
Long way to go.
Yeah.
Give me your current percentage of the Warriors getting to OKC.
I'd put it at 25.
Oof.
You thought it'd be higher?
I did. Not a lot.
25.
I thought you were going to say something more closer to 35, that's kind of where I'm at.
Tomorrow is a 60-40 game.
Agreed.
60 you should win, 40 you might lose.
I might even tick it up a little bit.
Okay. But even if it's 60-40, then going to New Orleans, I would put that at like 35-65, and going to LA would be 30-70 based on, I think, what... I mean, LA's a worse matchup, but... New Orleans came in here on Friday, and they kind of handled you.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Tale of four quarters.
Sure.
Warriors
and
won
the second
first
quarter were awful.
Yeah, they were an absolutely awful second quarter. Warriors came right back in the third quarter. Fourth quarter got a little bit, like, you know, toss-up-y. And, you know, you had a shot there in that last minute.
Right.
And it didn't go in.
Nope.
It didn't go in. But, you know, they were right there. And that's how a lot of these games are going to go. And that's, by the way, one of the reasons why I'm going to try real hard to, A, we've already got formed opinions, and B, whenever this whole thing ends, I want to form opinions based on all the things that I've seen, because it is literally ludicrous, this particular Western Conference, to start making broad strokes based on what happens this week.
Right.
It's kind of crazy that it all comes down to this. These teams, I find them to be so incredibly evenly matched, almost up and down the whole Western Conference. I think Denver, I set them apart, and then, you know, all the teams in the top four, they're a little bit better, but they're absolutely capable of stinker games, and everyone all the way down to the bottom is capable of an unbeatable game. Where, like, you play so well, like, no one on the planet is beating you on that night. They're all capable. And so the fact that now you get these games where it's like, you lose.
Right.
You go home is crazy because it's like, I have no idea what the hell's going to happen when these teams all get together.
Yeah. Yeah, and the Warriors have to have two of those games where they're unbelievable, or at least very good.
Yeah, tomorrow they're going to be very good.
Right, be very good, and then you get to Friday, and then maybe you have to be very good, or maybe you have to be unbelievable, and then you get into a seven game with OKC, and you'd have to be, you know, very good four times, or at least better than them four times.
Although, I'll add, like, tomorrow night is also intriguing with that first game to watch. Like, this is going to sound ridiculous, but who comes out of it healthy? There's nothing but players made of glass in that game. Anthony Davis, I will shock you with this if you haven't looked it up.
Okay.
Do you know how many games he played this year?
Like 75? Is that the number?
Look at the big brains on Dan.
I just ballparked
Good
it.
Good Lord, that's
I know
exactly
he played
right.
a ton.
It's exactly right, yeah. And it ties his career high.
Oh, geez.
But you would have thought with the number of times he's gotten hurt that he had played eight games this year.
Right.
And he was on the ground at the end of yesterday's game.
Of course he was.
And limped off and couldn't walk. And they're like, but he's going to play Tuesday. I'm like, right. Are you sure? And then LeBron is almost 40 years old. Brandon Ingram just came back from injury. And their other star is Zion. Like, I don't know who the hell is going to play on Friday.
Right.
Whoever comes out of that game, anything could happen.
Well, and Zion's played, I think, 68. And a lot of that was because they didn't want him to play back-to-backs early in the year, but he's played more games than ever before, so he's been healthy, and AD's been, like, really healthy, other than the fact that he seems to go out every other game after he plays. He gets hurt, you know, finger in the eye or, you know,
dude,
whatever it is.
He's such a Paul Pierce.
Totally.
He's like, I'm in a wheelchair, but I'll play in an hour. It's not untrue about the Warriors either, though. Chris Paul's postseason resume is what it is.
Oh, boy. Knock on wood.
You know what I mean? Draymond's back.
Yep.
Steph and Clay.
GP2 with the calf.
GP2.
Won't play this week.
You know, GP2 staying healthy has been a problem. All right, Jonathan in the city next up on Willard and Dibs. Hey, Jonathan, what's cooking?
Hey, nothing right now, but excited, super excited about tomorrow and the possibility of getting a playoff and getting out of the play-in. You know, whatever happens, happens, and I'm going to be happy either way because here's a guy coming from the Joe Smith, Daniel Marshall, Antoine Jameson, a big three back in the day. And one thing before I go, I just want to say, man, in my book, Draymond Green gets a pass in perpetuity unless he does something very criminal because you know why? Imagine if Draymond Green ever happened, we might be talking about getting the Splash Brothers their first ring ever.
Well, I'm kind of with you, Jonathan. Thank you very much. I'm kind of with you where I have a full understanding for why people, Dibs like you, are done. I get it. I don't get to a spot emotionally where it bothers me in that way, but I fully understand how many of you it does.
Yeah.
And whether it's compartmentalizing or whether it's giving people a pass that you shouldn't, is it being weak, you know, the Warriors not punishing him? I don't know what you want to call it, but I do whittle it down in the end to a couple of things. I will still, until it's not true, I will firmly believe the Warriors are a better team with him than without him, and that's pretty much enough for me, unless you're like some sort of crook. Are you hitting your wife?
No.
Are you,
no,
you know what
no,
I mean?
No. Yeah.
We're talking about somebody who emotionally loses control on a basketball court. And for me, that's not like a moral death blow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I get that.
Yeah.
I get that. But I think that you're downplaying exactly what it is when he loses control on a basketball court.
Maybe.
And, you know, he lost control in a practice and, you know, punched a teammate in the face, and that cost that teammate most of the year for whatever reason, but that kind of, you know, jaded the whole season last year. And then this year, he lost control on a basketball court multiple times. Once he choked an opponent, once he flail punched a guy, and once he got two techs and got ejected 3.5 minutes into a game. So for me, if you're not going to be a championship team, and I don't think that they are next year, I don't think they are this year, if that's the way we're going to go, the trajectory, rather, then I'd rather root for a team that doesn't have him.
Understood.
Yeah.
Like I said, I get it. I also think it is an oversimplification sensation.
That's
nice.
To come away from these seasons and say, this is on Draymond Green. Like, to me, oversimplification to say Draymond ruined last year by punching Jordan Poole and ruined this year by missing 20 games. There's so much more to that conversation.
There is.
So many more people who had an effect on it, positive and negative.
But for me, the biggest negatives of those 2 years were around him.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, last year the biggest negative was he punched Jordan Poole, and this year the biggest negative was he missed 20 games based on two suspensions.
Yeah, that's a fair opinion. It's a fair opinion. Yeah. Let's go to John in Richmond. Hey, John, what's up? You're with Willard and Dibs.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. I just want to say the Warriors, you know, when their three-pointers is going, they're very electric, but nothing is more deflating when they're turning the ball over. And I think, you know, everybody has lost a step this year, including Steve Kerr, the head coach, you know, they're, where he doesn't call out the team quite enough, you know, when, like, some of the passes, Steph Curry's got almost 3,000 career turnovers, you know, they're just as deflating. And it seems like sometimes he's just playing with too much house money.
Whoop. Where'd he go? Why
did he not there?
Why did he turn yellow? Oh. Sorry, John. You got clicked off. Lucas got fat. That was like when somebody, he needed to get auto-corrected on his text. He just hit like four letters at once. Go. What was your point again about Steve Kerr's got too much house money?
No, I was just saying that the coaching staff has not called out the teams. You know, some of the passes that Curry's thrown, like in the game against New Orleans, it's, you know, King Kong on a ladder couldn't have caught that.
Can I be devil's advocate, John? Can I be devil's advocate and ask you a question? What would it do for the Warriors if the coaching staff called Steph Curry out more?
He needs to. Every time the reporter or the media guys ask him, he says, well, they've been carrying us for 15 years. It's just the hunger is not there. You know, he's still in his prime. But, you know, some of these passes, he's got almost 3,000 career turnovers. It's so deflating. Nothing is more deflating as a Warrior fan when they turn the ball over. They're very electric. The key to success is getting shots up. When they put more shots up than the team, than their opponent, they're almost unbeatable.
But, John, what would it do if he called him out? That's what I'm asking you. Like, I'm not even disagreeing with you. Here we go again with it's Steve Kerr's fault because people are throwing bad passes. That's Steph bleeping Curry we're talking about. And by the way, the Warriors have always turned the ball over a ton. And it didn't bother us when they were winning championships. Now it's suddenly a problem and you'd like them called out publicly. What would that do for the Warriors?
Winning championships, they were having far too less games. Or a few games, you know, where they were, you know, losing on the turnover battle. It seems like the last two seasons, the Achilles heel for this team is not rebounding, not defense, which everybody says they need size. That's not true. This, you know, turning the ball over just kills the momentum. That's what the Warriors' bread and butter is, to move up and down and but not do silly passes.
Yeah, John, I hear you. You're having a hard time getting to an answer to my question.
Right.
Yeah, you can yell about turnovers all you want. They actually led the league in turnovers the year that they won the title 2 years ago.
Right.
So my question is, what's it going to do positively for the Warriors if you start calling superstars out publicly? I'm sorry, that's not the way you handle adults. It's just not. That's not a good leadership quality
Turnovers are lower than they were during the championship
years. There you go. So it's just, I understand how frustrating it is, but that's not what's holding them back. What's holding them back is that the other parts of their game are not as devastating as they were 2 years ago to cover up for the turnovers.
Right.
They've never not been this in terms of turnovers.
Right. And if you look at Steph Curry's career, he's been between 3.0 and 2.8 turnovers every single year. And this year he's at 2.8, which is the lowest since 2020. And he's been this player his entire career. He'll give you 3 turnovers a game. Right. He'll give you 6 assists a game. That's the ratio.
And 8 memories a game. Like, I mean, honestly,
least,
like this
right?
is Steph Curry we're talking about. And by the way, I'll also add this. A press conference is not where you call a player out. So in other words, maybe he is. You're not going to know about it.
Right.
We're not going to know about it. That's not what you do.
Steve needs to bury him publicly.
It's like, hey, call Monty Poole and do a hit piece because I've had enough of the Curry guy.
Right.
That's it. Really, honestly, Steph, I've had enough.
Enough is enough. Exactly.
You know, so like, but we don't know what the hell's being said behind closed doors. You'll hear a lot of people with the Warriors say that the team did get into an accountability conversation with Klay Thompson at the end of last year and into the offseason in the beginning of this year. Dude, you're chucking. And they're not good shots. And you might want to think about not doing that anymore.
Right.
That happens.
And we also know they got into a little bit of a conversation with Andrew Wiggins about, you know, playing harder. Hey, Andrew, how about you try?
They do that
on the regular.
Every night.
Right?
Every night. Jeez. That's the one that they do take to the press conference.
Exactly.
Andrew knows that, you know, we like him to be aggressive and we're not any good if he's not. And
yeah.
So, you know.
And when he is, then they go out there on the press conference and go, that's the Andrew we need.
That's the guy we want.
Exactly. It's crazy.
We're presented by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises. Plenty more of your calls. 888-957-9570. Ramona Shelburne's a little bit over an hour away. Are you glad to be here? Are you happy the Warriors are in this? Or is this like the dentist twice a year? You know, we got to go. Let's keep talking it out on Willard and Dibs.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.